I can't say you know what, so I'm just going to say it's another episode of the day. And I'm really pleased to have a couple of old friends here, not to mention the fact that you guys helped me earn my ratings
years ago. And be careful with that word, old, Ryan.
Yeah, well, of course, we're all that way. And, of course, people are probably wondering who I'm talking about. And it's none other than John and Martha King, who most people know from having all the great ground schools that you do. But I love this part of your bio where it says you were a dismal failure in a business for which you guys had absolutely no passion, and you decided to relax and indulge your love of flying, and now you have found a real job. And of course, you guys have been around teaching people aviation knowledge for a long time, and I can't believe that all of the courses that you have, and of course, your company started, King School started in a spare bedroom, like a lot of people. I say I was kind of hoping for a garage, but let's just get into it.
We couldn't afford it.
John
garage.
And Martha King, thank you so much for joining. Oh, wait, there's this lady over here with me, of
for
course, my co-host.
I was trying to be polite.
I know.
And
I don't want you to feel like I forgot you, but we just, you know, get going
it's
with
good.
All these people.
We
so.
Take turns on the mic.
Yeah.
It's a very equitable partnership.
It's not San Diego like what you're used to, but here in beautiful Oshkosh, but we're sort of trying today. It's a little cloudy out here, but oh my gosh, welcome. So how has the world of training been for you guys since we last saw you last year?
Well, you know, a lot of things are changing in training. Now we're running around with iPads, and you can take courses on iPads and download them completely to the iPad. And everything is getting easier. Everything is changing. The internet is changing the world. And I just heard a quote from the guy that was chairman of Intel. It says, the world is getting digital. And it really does. It makes things, they don't weigh anything anymore. All your approach charts are fitting on an iPad. Courses that you used to have lots of DVDs and CDs and tapes now are just, everything weighs less. Everything's dematerialized.
You can't even find anything to play a VHS tape on anymore if you still
have a Gold Star VHS recorder and player at home. And as long as you don't have to rewind, it still works.
but if you ever want to watch it again, you have to rewind.
That's what this is for.
We used to have semis come in with videotapes to our place.
We
would duplicate 500,000 videotapes a year. And now it's all on servers. The place has a quiet hum, and that's all of that tangibility of things went away and got dematerialized.
The quiet hum of digital. I gotta love it. So speaking of digital, we've come out with some new rules recently. We no longer have a PTS. Now we have an ACS. You want to talk a little bit about how that's changing things for
well,
you?
Well, yes. Martha and I have been passionate about this subject of trying to keep pilots alive for a long time.
It's worked for me.
I was going to say, you guys have done a good job of it.
We're all still here.
And John, we probably ought to tell them that ACS stands for Airman Certification
Standards. You're always into details, Martha. But basically, what happened is we used to do a circuit of cities teaching pilots on two-day ground schools. We'd come back to the same city a couple months later, and they would say, say, John, did you hear about Bill? We said, no, what happened to Bill? We got killed in an aircraft accident. And we began to realize over time, as you taught more and more pilots, you got to know more and more people who got killed in accidents. And at the same time, the FAA was going increasingly for tricky, trivial, obscure questions. And they were trying to get a bell-shaped curve. They wanted to separate those people who knew ADF from those people who really knew ADF. So they would ask ADF questions backwards. And as we would prepare people for ADF questions backwards, they'd even ask trickier and more obscure questions. And so as time went on, we began to be discouraged about, we have pilots who aren't taught how to manage the risks associated with flying, and they wind up and come to grief. And at some point, I had a guy in my class who was an Episcopalian priest and a radiologist. And he was a pillar in his community, outstanding person, highly respected. But he would come back to the classroom from breaks late, and then I had about 50 people in the class, and he'd ask me to repeat the stuff that he had missed. And as time went on, I became concerned that this guy was going to come to grief in an airplane. And I told the FAA inspector who came to give the test, as they did in those days, I said, Del, you got to talk to Dr. I'll call him Dr. Williams. You got to talk to Dr. Williams. I think he's going to kill himself in an airplane. He says, well, I can't just pick some guy out of your class and go talk to him because you told me to. He's going to get really mad. He's going to call his congressman. And I said, well... he said, you talk to him. I said, well, you know, I'm just a traveling ground instructor. I'm not going to be effective with him. So neither one of us talked to him. And about 2 weeks later, the guy from the FAA called me up and said, John, I thought you'd want to know Dr. Williams is dead. And that just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was devastated. And so I decided that never again am I going to let someone put a guilt trip on me like that. If I see a problem, I am going to bring it to their attention. And then later on, as we got into video and all of a sudden I realized, you know, I think people are listening to us. I began to realize we had an opportunity to do it for the whole aviation community. And if you got an opportunity at some point, you have an obligation to do it. So Martha and I started pushing on this risk management thing very, very hard. Susan Parson from the FAA is often referred to as a border collie. She can herd not only sheep, but she can herd cats.
And Susan, if you're listening, that was meant in a nice way.
It really was.
She describes herself that way.
Sure.
She says, as a border collie, I have two jobs. One is to herd you, and the other is to protect you.
It's really scary when you see her slinking down as she's getting ready to herd you.
There you go.
So she actually, we got into cahoots with each other, and we decided that no longer do we want questions that are tricky and trivial and obscure. We want questions that have to do with the person's ability to identify risks and mitigate them and come out the other side safely. And so she, she collaborated with about at least 50 people involved in doing it. We've been meeting on the subject for 5 years, and now we're going to ask pilots. We're going to ask pilots to be trained on their first flight lesson to be told to identify the risks, to discuss the risks, and how to mitigate them. And then, as they go through their training, they'll get the habit of thinking about risks and mitigating risks, and risk management is a habit. And so, and we're now people are going to be evaluated on that habit. Can they talk about risks, and can they identify them, and can they come up with a mitigation strategy? I think it's the best hope we have of improving the accident rate and the fatality rate in aviation.
And something I think is really important to say here is that this is really an industry-led program. You know, people are reasonably and rationally suspicious or concerned about some of the programs that come down from the FAA from time to time. But in this particular case, the industry went to the FAA and said, look, the way you've got training and testing structured, our students aren't getting what they need on risk management, and we can't get them to pay enough attention to it if you're not testing on it in the right kind of way. And so industry led this as far as the thought process, but the FAA, as the regulator, enabled it. And basically, Susan Parson worked to make sure that the FAA changed policy where they needed to, and basically got out of industry's way and enabled the process that industry was pushing. So this is not a FAA top-down push. This is a grassroots and industry-led poll saying to the FAA, enable us to do this.
You could call it collaboration, but the real way to call it is getting cahoots with each other.
And that's not such a bad thing.
No, it's not at all a bad thing. And there are some concerns about it.
But no, if a person were taking a private pilot check ride today, what differences could you maybe expect that person to see using the ACS versus the old PTS?
Well, there are three aspects to it. There's knowledge, and so there are now standards for knowledge. People just can't make up weird stuff and ask how many satellites are in the constellation. Who cares from a pilot standpoint? How is that going to help me identify the risk of flight? And so the questions that the examiners ask and the questions you're going to take on the knowledge test have to be relevant to your ability to get a better outcome as a risk manager, as a pilot. Secondly, we're still going to have skills, and we haven't changed the skills at all. But the third thing we're going to ask pilots to do is to be situationally aware. What are the risks of the situation you're in? And can you identify those? Can you talk intelligently about the risks that are involved in what you're about to do? And can you come up with a scheme to mitigate those risks? So it's knowledge, risks, and skills now. And we have standards for them. So it's all about guidance. The examiner is given, we've always tried to do risk management, but we had special emphasis items all over the place, and they weren't integrated and brought in together. So we've always tried to keep people alive. It's just we're getting more guidance now than we did before.
And something else that people worry about is, well, what if I don't give the right answer on the risk management? But it's not the answer that the examiner is looking for, it's the thought process. If they say, for instance, you all have always walked in to a private flight test with a cross country to explain to the examiner, and now there will be more questions from the examiner about, well, tell me what you see as possible problems with this flight. What could go wrong? What would you do about it? Tell me how you would think about that. So it's the thinking process more than the exact answer.
And it's amazing that we're at this day and age and we're just saying, hey, you know, that's not a bad idea. So it just makes you wonder where we've been all these years,
It's interesting because when you look back on it, what you get is the idea that instructors and examiners must have felt that somehow the student's going to just intuit what they're supposed to do about risk management and didn't really have to be taught it, but it is a process and a tool that can be taught and should be taught.
It's a great concept, and you know, we want to make sure that our listeners know where they can find out more about you guys and the things you're involved in. How would they find you on the internet?
It's kingschools.com, but we're also here at Air Venture in Hangar A and booth 1132. And they can always call us on our 800 number, 800-854-1001. And we got pilots on the other end of that phone line, and we also do chat on the internet. Love to talk to people about what their goals are.
Wow, that's incredible. We're so glad we were able to have you again with us for another Air Venture. And John and Martha King, thank you so much for joining us on Attitude Adjustment on EAA Radio.